Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. The title of his message is, I'm Homesick and It Hurts. The text is from 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 13 through 17.
Well, this is my first opportunity to speak to you this year, and let me welcome you back. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'd like to read verse 13 through verse 17. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem. That was by the gate, and they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. A wonderful story with great lessons for us. I've often said from this pulpit, and every time I read Scripture and do my devotions, I think this thought, the Bible is filled with true stories about real people. And those true stories about real people contain for us principles of life. And if we make application of those principles in our lives, we have a Christian life and a Christian experience. It helps us to walk with the Lord and to know the Lord. And as I read this story, I'm aware that there's no other Bible character that really holds such a fascination for our Christians as the character David, Israel's shepherd, psalmist, and eventually their king. Twice in Scripture we're told that David was a man after God's own heart. A man that desired to know the heart of God. A man that desired to walk with his God. And yet, in so many ways, a normal man. A man that fought the same battles of life we all fight. He's a man that knew the agony of defeat personally. He experienced the height of spirituality, and we see that in the Psalms. Anytime I get to feeling a little low and want to experience the Lord through the pen of David as he was led by the Holy Spirit, I read the Psalms. There's so many wonderful things in those Psalms that draw our heart to God. But here's a picture of a real man who in his life experienced both the heights of success and the depths of defeat. His success stories are far more than his stories of defeat. We're all aware of two major flaws that took place in his life, his sin of Bathsheba, in the latter years of his life, his sin of numbering the people, which follows shortly after this little section of the story that I just read to you. Most people who read the Psalms and read in Scripture the stories of the life of David feel that they personally know him. He's a real person. They can understand his mind and his thoughts and his actions. He's a very interesting character, and he had an extremely interesting career as he sought to follow God in difficult times. And though we know he was just a man, he was an unusual man because he accepted and accomplished such great undertakings for the God that he loved. The same qualities that draw us to David and the stories of David from the time he slew the giant till his last battle with Ishbi-Benob as an old man, 69 years old. Those stories draw us to Him, and it drew men in His days to Him. Without a doubt, He's one of the greatest leaders shown in all the Scripture. I want to set this passage that I just read in your hearing so that you can understand the circumstances around which these words were written, and from this extract some principles that will help us very practically in our everyday life. This passage reveals to us one of the personality traits that made David such a great man. One of the personality traits that makes us look at David and say, we understand him. We understand sometimes how he thought and how he felt. And this scripture reveals to us something he was thinking. It's one of the most interesting things about the Bible. These true stories about real people often tell us what's going on inside their minds, what they're thinking. Another book can do that. We can all kind of guess at what someone's thinking in a certain set of circumstances. But the Bible realistically tells us exactly what a man's thinking as a result of those things that are going on around him in his life. Though this story is written, this passage is written in the last year of David's life, 69 years old. He dies early in his 70th year. It really relates to something he's thinking about that happened a lot earlier in his life. He's thinking back to an experience that happened just about 31 years earlier when he was 38 years old. He was in the 8th year of his reign of king over part of the tribes. But now at this time he was in his first year as king over all the tribes of Israel. And this was an interesting time for him because he'd set about to drive out the last pocket of Philistines that had come into the land of Israel in their battles trying to take over the whole land. You know, the Philistines at this time were encamped around Bethlehem, David's home, place that he'd been away from at least 13, maybe 15 years, gone as he ran from Saul and hid in the wilderness and all the experiences that we read about in the Scripture. But now, he's back home in a different setting. He's in a cave that he made his headquarters, a cave that we see him visit often if we study his life, the Cave of Adullam. There in the Judean wilderness, in the little low hills, and he's looking out across the valley, and about 12 or 13 miles away is the city of Bethlehem, and right between him and the gates to the city of Bethlehem is the well of Bethlehem. And he's looking at that well and all the Philistine soldiers in the garrison that were encamped about his hometown. And he makes a real revealing statement. The text is found in the 15th verse. Look at that verse with me for just a moment. David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." I think what David is really saying here, he's saying, "I'm homesick and it hurts." That's what I've entitled the message this morning. I'm homesick and it hurts. His mind is going back all of these years, 31 years. He's remembering an experience that happened once before when he was in the same place. He's remembering his early years when he became king over all the tribes of Israel. He's thinking back over the decisions he's made and the directions he's taken in his life that brought him to where he was in his latter years. This reveals to me that he's a sensitive man. He's a thinking man. It's a revelation of his character. He longed. Look at that. David longed. That's a little short sentence, but it has a whole lot of meaning in it. This Hebrew word for long means he had a strong, earnest desire of his soul. He's in deep thought and deep concentration. There are circumstances that put him in deep thought at this time because he's hot. It says it's harvest time. That's the summertime. He's in the desert, very near an oasis, which is what this well of Bethlehem was. And he remembers his childhood. He remembers his hometown. Imagine this 38-year-old man sits up there and looks at that Philistine army as it has captured the city that he was born and raised in. And he looks at that well, which is outside the gate between where he is in the cave of Adullam and the city of Bethlehem. And he's thinking how many times he played in that courtyard. How many of his friends had such fun together. He's thinking about how refreshing that water was when he was hot and tired. He's thinking about how the people that he was raised with and that he knew have now been captured by a host of enemy. He's definitely a thinker. He could muse. The Bible says to us in the 39th Psalm something interesting about this sensitive man who's constantly thinking about life and the circumstances of life and his God. Psalm 39, 1 through 3, David said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred within me. My heart was hot within me, and while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. The writings of David. While I was in deep thought and deep concentration, you know, David literally said, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to say anything about the circumstances of my life until I think it through. That's a great trait. To muse means to be in deep concentration. It means to think. But you take the little Latin suffix, ah, and put it in front of that, and you've got the word amused. You know what that means, young people? That means no thinking. That means no concentration. How Satan would rather lead us to amusement than to be thinking people that muse and think on the situations and circumstances of life. How easy it is for us to want to throw our mind out of gear and just sit around, maybe watch television, play a game, be with friends, but don't think. David was not that way. He was in deep thought and deep concentration. And he makes a comment. While he's sitting here with his leaders and the men of his army, and he's preparing to take this city back, he just casually says, oh, if I could go home again. If I could just drink some water from that well. That's what he says in his reflections. But you know what? His desires that he expressed when he was homesick, when he was musing on his hometown, greatly affected others. It affected his men. You know, I hope the Lord has kept a record of all these things other than Scripture, maybe videos of this. Wouldn't you like to see this as it's taking place? As this great leader is musing about going back home and taking this city back, and if he could drink from this well again. And three of the men that were his followers respected him so much and loved him so much, listening to his comments about being homesick, they said, if he just wants to drink of water from that well, we'll get it for him. So three of his mighty men left that hilltop and went down to the well of Bethlehem, three soldiers with a whole garrison of the Philistine army there, and they fought their way through, and they got a jar of water, and they brought it back to David, and they thought, we've done a wonderful thing for our leader. We love him. We care about him. But he had literally, though he's thinking the right thing, because he expressed what he was thinking, he endangered the lives of his own men. His next reaction reveals that he's a sensible man. He's not just a sensitive person, and that he should be. But he is a sensible person who will not allow his emotions to destroy his mission or his ministry or what he's supposed to be doing. Now, because he has expressed his homesickness out loud, he's got a dilemma. He's put others in danger. And that wasn't his intent. That's never really our intent. when we talk about what we'd like to be doing, where we'd like to be, what's bothering us, we don't really think that we might be jeopardizing other people. But you know you are. And so was David. And these were dedicated men who could have died because of the comments David made. And David's obviously thinking this. The scripture doesn't tell us that, but I think it's normal for us to understand that. And he was somewhat overwhelmed by their love and loyalty. How would you feel if you were a leader of others, and in your deep thought and concentration, you just muttered a statement about something you would like to have, and those people who were following you literally put their life on the line to fulfill your wishes? How do you think that made David feel? There's someone that cares about me. There are people who are following me, who are interested in me, who are concerned about me. This is going to change his way of thinking. There are people who want me to have what I want, if they can give it to me, even if it costs them. David, I think, was overwhelmed by their love and their loyalty. You know, there's a chance that sometimes my inward desires or your inward desires can be interpreted by others as selfishness. David is standing here before these three men and the rest of his soldiers standing around. And I can just see them as they hand him this jar of water that came from the well. And they said, "Here, David, this is what you wanted." I can see David's mind as he looks at this water and he looks at them and he thinks, "What have I done? I can't drink this water, but I can't offend these men. I don't want to discourage them. I don't want to say to them, 'Well, you were foolish, you did the wrong thing,' because I created this set of circumstances. I created this situation, and I've got to think of a way to honor God." You know, here's his decision. I believe from reading the stories of David in the Scripture and reading the Psalms that David always had this thought in his mind: whatever I do, I must honor God. Well, he failed a couple of times, but the majority of his life, he's seeking to honor his God. He's seeking to have a right relationship with his God. David said in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." David cared about what God thought about his actions, his decisions, his comments. This is part of the character of David that I really have a great deal of respect for. You know, do we really care what God thinks of us? Do you realize that God knows our every thought and our every action? But do you care what He thinks about what you say or what you do? Does it ever sink into your mind and heart that the God that loves you wants what's best for you? And when you make foolish decisions, maybe you state the right thing out loud when you shouldn't have, as David did in this case? David knew God cared. And David said, "Let what I say when I talk and what I think, the meditations of my heart, let that be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I think that's one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. I think that's a prayer we should all consider when we think about God and God's reactions to our lives and to what we do and to what we say. But it goes further than that. His next actions reveal to me he's a spiritual man. Look at verse 16. "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. He poured it out unto the Lord." This is a great and unusual action. He said, you know, I appreciate what you men have done for me, but you put your lives in jeopardy, and that makes this water something special other than just a bottle of water. It's special because of what it cost you to bring it to me. It is so special, I'm not worthy to drink it. But there is one person who is more worthy than I in my life and in your life. David's decision, it was a wonderful decision. He held in his hand the thing he wanted most, but he realized it was too valuable. He realized that if he handled this set of circumstances wrong, he would hurt the men that brought it to him. So he gave it to the Lord. This is a perfect picture of a spiritual leader. Even though these actions took place in a time that he was thinking about the past and he was literally homesick for his hometown and probably for his childhood when he didn't have the pressures of running a nation and leading an army. You know what he did? He did something that made his men happy. He honored his God. He did something that made God happy. And he made a choice that ultimately made him happy because he sacrificed this thing he wanted so badly to the God he loved so much. This man understood sacrifice. That's why he's such a great spiritual leader in the Bible. There is no such thing as serving God in life without sacrifice. One of the faults of modern religion is that it tries to teach us that, boy, you just get saved, you be a Christian, you'll never have any pressures, you'll never have any problems, you'll never have to give up anything. The modern user-friendly church is saying, you don't have to live a morally separated life, or you don't have to give up anything to be a Christian. That's contrary to Scripture. It's contrary to the thought process of David. He understood sacrifice. He understood service to the Lord. He's taking this experience and turning it into a great act of service to God. You know what? He understood to give God the common things of life. What is he sacrificing here? What's he pouring out? Water. Just plain old everyday water. Something that comes down from heaven is distributed around the world. David knew that even the common things could become precious. It's generally free. But there are times that people consider it awful precious. But when you take it and you make it a sacrifice to the Lord, it's more precious. There are common things in your life like your time and the talents you have. Do you give those to the Lord? That will make you a leader to people around you if you're willing to do that. He understood to sacrifice the costly things of life. Here's something that was very common, but it became very costly because it was purchased literally by putting the lives of these three men on the line. You know, how much is our life worth? Look what God paid for it, the precious blood of Christ without spot and without blemish. Our God considered our souls that He created so valuable that He wouldn't just claim them by right of being the Creator. He purchases them by right of redemption. And that makes our lives extremely valuable as this water was that David sacrificed back to the Lord. The value of your life is placed there by God's willingness to pay the greatest price the world has ever known for you as a Christian. What do you do with that life? Unfortunately, most people only think about living for themselves. I'm glad that David gave us an example that that's not what it's all about. It's not drinking that water you wanted so badly. But it's giving a true lesson about following God. And the other thing I like about this It's a complete sacrifice. When David poured this water out on the ground, my friends, in that desert, it was gone. He can't take it back. When I was thinking over this passage of Scripture and praying about it, I thought, how many times in my life, under certain circumstances, I had given something to the Lord, or I'd given up something that I should give up. And how many times would I, as a man, take it back? I'm sure that there are people under the sound of my voice that have made great promises to God that you haven't kept. If you're going to be the kind of spiritual leader David was, you need to keep those promises. You need to say, I can't take these things back. I think of Elisha when Elijah came by and said to this very prominent, wealthy farmer, a man that owned 12 yoke of oxen, and he was plowing other people's fields for pay. And Elijah told him, God's calling you. And Elisha said, let me slay my oxen and take my plows and build a fire and cook the oxen and give them meat. Let me burn all my bridges. You know what Elisha knew? He knew when he decided to follow God that all those things that were his, he wanted them to be gone as David poured this water out and wanted it to be gone. Elisha can't get those oxen back. He gave them up for his God. And that's a great spiritual lesson for us, because men that really serve God in this book give their lives up and their things up for service of God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Elisha in the Old Testament knew something about New Testament Scripture because he knew the principle. He would make sure he didn't turn back, that he didn't go back. What is all this telling us? My young friends, this passage of Scripture is telling us it's all right to be homesick. Sensitive, spiritual people can be homesick. But it's very important how you handle it. And your character will be revealed by your reaction. In a time like this, it's a great time to show people how much you love God. It's a great time to show people what spirituality is all about. It's a great time to be willing to sacrifice for the God that loves you and that you should love so much. What a wonderful story with great practical lessons for us.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President of BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.